Me and my mom, she used to play the Hawaiian guitar with her band, the Sunset Ramblers, and so it was good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
50 years, Roe versus Wade. You know how it got overturned? Number one, God. Number two, persistence of Christians who stood in the gap and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and did some more praying and some more praying and praying and praying and never giving up. Hallelujah. What a horrible thing that's been in our nation. If you could see some of the pictures of what an abortion really is, you'd wonder why in the world would we ever want that in our nation?
Right.
It's disgusting and horrible. It's degrading. It's an abomination to God. And multitudes, almost 70 million little babies in the United States alone have been aborted in the last 40, 50 years, killed in the womb. And no wonder God's angry at America. The blood from those babies is screaming up to him. And I thank God that these Supreme Court justices were willing to stand even against death threats to follow through and to erase that horrible scar upon America. And we just trust that the blood of Jesus will be over those Supreme Court justices protecting him right now too, because there's a radical bunch out there that are literally getting thousands of death threats toward him right now. The devil's mad because we won the victory. And he's going to try to bring him down, but he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. So we got to keep praying, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's been a battle. So I want to speak on today how to win the battle, the battles of life. Anybody ever have a battle in your life? Only half of you? That's pretty good. I want to talk to the other half. Didn't raise their hands. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify you. For Lord, you're here this morning through your Holy Spirit. And we welcome you, Lord. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your protection. We ask for your anointing this morning upon the congregation, myself, your word, your anointed word, that it go forward, that it encourage us and help us to live for you, Lord, to glorify you in these last days. I believe you're coming soon, Lord, and you're bringing victories into our life. There's going to be a great move of your hand, I believe, Father. Your glory is beginning to shine upon the earth, and you're not done yet, Lord. And we're going to believe for more victories in this world. We're going to believe for more victories in our own lives as we see the final hours approaching. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How to win the battles of life. One of the metaphors that the Bible uses over and over again for the Christian life is that of the battles. That's what he uses, battles. And I use this scripture to start out. I've used it many, many times. And that's because we're in constant battles many times, aren't we? So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, I'll start out with. It says, put on the whole, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Right.
Did you put your armor on?
Yes.
Should never take it off.
Right.
You can go to bed with this armor. Put that red suit on and leave it on. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're seeing that dramatically play out today on social media too. Have you seen what's happened since Roe versus Wade has been overturned?
Yes.
Have you heard and seen things people are doing? They are literally people that are possessed by demonic spirits and are being moved by demonic spirits in our nation by the multitudes right now. They're coming out of the woodwork. They're manifesting before America right now.
Right.
And we're watching it. Those are principalities and powers and wickedness in high places that are manifesting. And I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is revealing him, and we can find out what the true truth is. Amen?
Yes.
This nation's been in a battle. So this scripture is talking about the battles that we fight daily. We fight them daily, amen? They may be financial battles. They may be spiritual battles. They may be relational battles. They may be strongholds in your life. Whatever the battle is, every one of us fight battles. And it seems like just when we get out of one, there's another one coming. Yeah. But you know, each step, each battle that comes into our life, it's either going to make us better or bitter. Amen?
That's right.
Better or bitter. And we got to look at that. When there's a battle in our life, we got to remember who's with us. Who is that?
Jesus.
It's Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is with us 24 hours a day.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he's in the battle with us many times, if not all the time. See, in the Old Testament, you find that Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, got word from a friend that there were three enemy nations were coming against him to fight him. Remember, not a few weeks ago, I preached on another king who had enemies at their doorstep. Belshazzar, remember that old boy? You remember what he did? They had party time. They were having a party. See, the odds weren't too good because it was three nations now that are against this nation of Israel, and King Jehoshaphat knew it. The Bible tells us that these three nations were the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites, and what we had today is termites. The others are all gone, but we're watching the termites try to take over America. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 and 2 is where I'll be parked most of the morning this morning. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle him. All of them at once were coming against him. A multitude. I don't know how many were in that multitude, but can you see that poor king standing there watching what's happening out on his borders as these three nations were surrounding him? It goes on to say, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying that there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar and in Jedi. They were being surrounded. You ever feel like that? You see the enemy surrounding your life? Things seem like they're getting hotter and hotter, heating up, and you think, how am I going to get out of this one? I can't imagine being that king right now and seeing these armies coming against him. God put the story, I believe, of Jehoshaphat in the Bible in order to illustrate to us certain spiritual principles in winning battles of life. Principle number one, I'll put, is identify your enemy. Identify your enemy. See, verse 1 shows us the first principle of overcoming battles life, and we need to identify who that enemy is that we're in battle with. But this seems like a rather obvious thing that you want to identify your enemy, but it really isn't. Many people simply do not know who their enemy is. Did you know that?
Right.
Many don't. They start mistrusting everyone around them. And often we think the enemy is some other person, even our own family members. We start to believe that. But they may not be the ones who are standing against us, but for us. Remember, Ephesians. Remember, we're fighting principalities, right?
Yeah.
We're fighting principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. That's who we're truly fighting. And many times the enemy is our own attitude. Oop. It's our own attitude. How's been your attitude lately? Is things not going right? Seemingly you're in a battle? How's your attitude? What type of attitude are you protruding into this time when you feel you're in a battle? It means a lot. You know, I had a guy come into our house this past week, and we had some work done, and I needed my wife to talk to him, and she wasn't home. She called him on the phone while he was in my house. And while she was giving the instruction about what we felt needed to be done, this man was sitting on a chair while she was talking to him in my house, and she's trying to explain to him, and he wasn't having a good morning. He was going like this here when she was talking, right in front of me. He's going, making little noises. He was so frustrated. My first thing was the hair on my neck was just kind of starting to bend a little bit. And I thought, he's going to keep acting that way and being kind of rude. I'm going to have to step in. But then the Holy Spirit stepped in first because I knew my attitude needed to be checked. I would have started a battle that I didn't need to start. So anyway, as time went on, long story, I ended up witnessing this guy and sharing Jesus with him. And his whole attitude changed. He left, got in his truck, and then he come back and he walked into my garage. I was in my garage and he said, I just wanted to come back. I really enjoyed talking with you. But see, if I maintained an attitude of saying, who do you think you are in my house, telling, you know, being rude to my wife or whatever, I would have never had that opportunity. But I realized that this is a person that was having a bad day and God sent him to me.
Yes. Yes.
And I used that time for God's glory. And I thank God I did. But many times our enemy can be our attitude and how we respond to many circumstances and people in life. If you're having a bad day, maybe it's because of your attitude. Amen? It can be. I used to work in retail, and sometimes I'd get really frustrated. My attitude wasn't the best. Well, it wasn't the customer who was the problem. It was me. It was my attitude. The battle I was having of being frustrated was my attitude was creating it. And we need to think about that. Before we can start winning our battles, we need to know who our enemy is. Notice how Jehoshaphat reacted when he heard that these three nations were coming against him in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Can you understand that?
Yes.
I can understand that. He looked and he feared. That brings us to point number two. Don't be driven by emotion.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be driven by emotion. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and I can understand that. He had every right to be. Three nations were coming up against him. Multitudes. That would be a typical reaction for all of us, I believe, if that was happening to us, wouldn't it? But don't let your emotions take control of you. Too many people allow their emotions to take control of them. I've done that even in my own life in the past, and letting my emotions take over. Some people do that all the time, and they don't even realize it sometimes. They let their emotions take control of them. Have you ever let your emotions take control of you?
Yeah.
What happens when we do that sometimes? Sometimes we say harsh words, don't we? We do things that maybe we shouldn't be doing. We even threaten people if our emotions get out of control. They will get mad, they will get angry, they will be furious. And look out if you're standing anywhere around them when that happens. I've been there when somebody's emotions got out of hand. You can become a casualty of someone's emotional breakdown. And that's happening all around us today. There's battles all around us, and some of you have been in battles like that. But look what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Boy, it's quiet in here. I don't know if I'm talking too quiet. I can turn it up a notch. But did you hear that, people? You need to hear that again. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. When we lose control of our emotions and we start saying things and threatening things and doing things, we're not operating in the righteousness of God. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to realize, where am I at right now? Do I need to bring myself under control? I'm the enemy here. My attitude, my emotions are out of control. And many times we can bring it back in and bring peace to it. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Jehoshaphat needed that, didn't he? All of us are emotional beings. Not one of us. You say, "Well, I'm not an emotional person." Yes, you are. Just by controlling yourself, that's an emotion. All of us. God created every one of us emotional beings. Jesus is emotional. Did you know that? Don't you think he was emotional when he called the Pharisees fox? The old fox, Herod? Remember the money changers? That's emotion. God created us in his image. But don't let your emotion get the better of you. That's something we need to all work on. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." And I stopped there a sec. Long-suffering in the Greek means patient endurance, to bear long with the frailties, the offenses, the injuries, and the provocations of others. And then it goes on to say gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And again, that word temperance means in the Greek, self-control. See, that's what God is trying to work out in each one of us, is the fruit of the Spirit. That we operate our lives according to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, not the fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what he's doing in us many times in the battles that we face and the things that we're doing. He is allowing us to put into action the Word of God. When we read the Word of God and live it out and do what he says we're to do, we can begin to develop these fruits within our life, this fruit that it's talking about. And long-suffering and temperance are two of them in there that we need to work really hard on. What should we do next? Number three, take your problems to the Lord.
Amen.
Take your problems to the Lord. Many people take them there, but they just stand there stunned. Or they murmur and complain to God, and then they turn around and walk away, and they still keep them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." That king was a smart king. Totally opposite than Belshazzar. But that's what he did. To set himself to seek the Lord. When Jehoshaphat learned that these three nations were coming against him, he was afraid. But instantly, he set himself to seek the Lord. That's the first one he went to. He didn't go to the soothsayers and the witches and the warlocks and the magicians. He sought the Lord. And that's what we need to do. When we're facing a battle, no matter if it's a big, little, whatever type of battle it is, the first thing we ought to do is go to the Lord. The very first thing. We need to seek him and to say, "God, help me right now in this battle." And he will be there to help you. The third principle in winning the battles of life is to take your problems to the Lord. I'm going to just read a few psalms here that I looked up that I thought were very encouraging. Psalms chapter 120, verse 1. It says, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." Did you hear that? He heard me! Psalms 50, 15. "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me."
Amen.
Thou shalt glorify me. Once you glorify God when you're in trouble, you're in a battle, and God comes, shows up, delivers you, don't you want to glorify God?
Amen.
We heard some of those in the testimonies this morning. Psalms chapter 34, 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Thank you, Jesus.
How many of your troubles?
All.
You say, well, God didn't deliver me out of mine. Yes, He did. You're here today.
Amen.
He delivers out all of our troubles. His word is true, yes. And we will be delivered from all of our troubles at one point.
Yes.
Psalms 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me.
Yes.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
That's what we just saw in America. All the enemies against us, against, we watched God overturn. God was in the battle all the time.
Amen.
Psalms 18:6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears.
Yes.
Psalms 55:1. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God's with us in the battles of this world, this life. There's many that be with us. We just can't see them. There's many around us. God's ministering angels are with us. They're all around us. God's got help for us, and He is in the middle of the battle. And we need to be aware of that. Prayer ought to be the first weapon we use whenever we face the battles of life. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Then you need to be on prayer time.
There you go.
Amen?
Amen.
Do you think a lot of things that are happening in our nation today are just because we're smart people? We're good people? No way. I'll tell you how it happened. Through prayer. Dedicated people sold out to prayer because we're seeking God in the serious times in our life. We did it for our nation. You need to do it for your home.
Amen.
You need to do it for your church.
Right.
We need to do it for each other's. We need to be in prayer. If we want to see a move of God, and we need a move of God in America, I was reading a report yesterday how much Christianity has declined in America. The conservatives dropped from 90 to 81% in believing in God. The liberals and the Democrats dropped from 72 to 69. Declining. Not going up, but declining. We need prayer in America.
Amen.
We need to seek God. We have the enemy surrounding us. Demonic forces are surrounding America and every other nation right now. We need people of God that are dedicated and willing to be steadfast in the faith and be in prayer. That's why we offer prayer Sunday mornings, and that's why we have prayer on Sunday nights. I hope and pray, if you're not on Zoom in prayer, that you're praying along with us. We need prayer people. Nothing's going to get accomplished in this world without God's people seeking Him and praying to Him. Yes, it's hard. Yes, you got to get away from maybe the fun thing. But I tell you what, it's fun when you see victories in your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that comes through prayer. That comes through work. It takes work. It takes fighting against the old flesh and saying, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer right now. Because I need it in my family, I need it in my church, I need it in my country, my state.
Amen.
This state really needs prayer right now. I agree with that.
Yes.
And then not just this state, but other blue states are going to open wide open. And we're going to pray that God's going to shut the door. He will not be mocked.
That's right.
They think they're going around. They're not going around. They're fighting against the creator of the world.
Yes.
And they are already losers.
Yes.
They just don't know it yet. They will find out.
Amen.
We need to be strong and people of faith and prayerful people.
Yes.
Usually the last thing we try is prayer. The last thing. Maybe because we want things to work out on our own. We're hoping they will. So we don't even seek God. Jehoshaphat prayed, and you know what he said? And I'm going to paraphrase this in effect out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6 and 12 for the sake of time. Very short. God, I know you've helped me in the past. I know you can help me in the future. So please help me now. Please take care of my enemies, for we have no power to face that vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are up on you. Yeah. I shortened that way up, but you need to read it. But in effect, that's exactly what he prayed to God. He knew that God took care of him in the past and is going to take care of him in the future.
That's right.
And when you and I are in a battle, we know we're in a battle right now, but we can think back and say, God took me through many battles and he's going to take me through this one too.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He is. He's right there. He's going to do it. He is going to do it if you seek him. But that brings us to point four. Admit you need the help.
Right.
Many times we're prideful. You know, many times when I'll make an altar call for something in people's lives, and the Holy Spirit knows, and I'll do it, many people hold back. They don't want to admit to anybody else that they have a need in their life. That's called pride. That's why I always say, I'm already up here, my hands in the air.
Amen.
Because you don't think I want to get answers to the battle that I'm in just because I don't want nobody to know I have a battle. I have weaknesses. I have things in my life. If a pastor says, come forward, God, the Holy Spirit wants you to come forward, we're going to pray. You say, well, I don't have to come forward for that. No, you don't. But many times when you acknowledge God, you acknowledge him, that he is the source, your faith is activated. But when you're holding back, that's simple pride. And what's God think about pride? It's an abomination. The fourth principle in winning a battle life is to admit you need help. Jehoshaphat did when he said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That's why I repeatedly keep saying the scripture and verse where Jesus says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Don't fix it on the battle. Don't fix it on the circumstances. Don't fix it on other people. Don't fix it on other things you think are going to resolve the battle. Fix them on Jesus.
Yes.
Jehoshaphat did that. He fixed his eyes upon God because he knew everything was going to happen was going to come from God, even how to win this battle. You need to say, Lord, I've got a problem and I need your help with it.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to do that. There's only one kind of person that God doesn't help. Did you know that? That's a person who doesn't think he needs help.
Yeah.
God doesn't help him. That's why Jesus entered his hometown and not many miracles were done. Why? Because nobody think they needed Jesus. Guess what? They didn't get any miracles.
Right.
When you say, Lord, I've got a problem. I need help. I admit my inadequacies. Then he's going to begin to work through you. Psalms chapter 145, 18 through 20. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. There's our enemies. See, the Christian life is a supernatural life, and we need God's power to live it.
Yeah.
It's a supernatural life, whether you believe it or not. We can't live it on our own because we have a power shortage. We really do. Within ourselves, we have no might against Satan.
Right.
You know, I remember when I first got saved, a young guy, we had the baptism service in our little church. My wife and I are 21 or something like that, I believe. And they had baptism service and we got up there and I remember getting in that baptismal there and they always say, the pastor, is there anything you want to say? And being thinking I already was, God arrived when he chose me. I said, watch out, devil, here I come. It wasn't long after that I wanted to retract that statement. The devil was saying back to me, you better watch it because I'm coming after you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And it's been a battle ever since.
That's right.
But you know something? I got the Holy Ghost in me.
Amen.
I got the Holy Ghost in me.
Praise.
The devil can only roar and put thoughts in my mind, but he can't do anything. He can't make me do anything. He can't make me say anything. There's nothing he can do but roar and lie to me. That's all he can do. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And the devil knows it. He's a defeated foe, people. We got to remember that. God is willing to help, but if we are too proud to ask for it, he's not going to help us.
That's right.
Sometimes he probably will just to show, but most time he doesn't. He's not going to force himself on us in any way. Sometimes we try to do God's work for him, and we only extend that battle out further. There's many people try to fix their own battle by trying to do things in their own steam, and they only extend that battle going further out, and many times they complicate it even more rather than giving God the chance and saying, God, it's yours. And God brings healing and deliverance within a short period of time. Many times. The Bible says in James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. It takes humility to go to the Lord and say, I need your help. Point number 5, rely on God's power. Rely on God's power. Did you notice that Jehoshaphat admitted, neither know we what to do? He admitted that. He said, I don't know what to do, God. Three nations out there ready to attack and to annihilate my country, Judah, Israel. Three nations are against us. Multitudes. I have no idea what to do. But I like what he added. But our eyes are upon you. That's what the king did. He had nothing. He had no idea. And maybe you're in a battle right now and you just scratch your head. Say, I just don't know what to do, God. I don't know how to fix this. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
If you're in any kind of a battle, your health, whatever, financial, relational, whatever it is, put your eyes on Jesus and just say, God, I don't know what to do. Just cry out to him. My eyes are up on you, God. I'm looking to you to help me in this battle right now. And I already read you several scriptures, and I could stay all day reading the rest of them, where God says, I hear you, and I'm going to deliver you. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Doesn't that get you excited?
Yes.
No matter what's going on in the world right now, all the issues and battles that are going on, and there's multitudes of them, and they're bringing discouragement and hopelessness to a dying world.
Yes.
But we as the believers, we don't have to sit there and look at it. Because why? My eyes are fixed on God.
Yes.
He may use me in the battle, but he's the ultimate.
Amen.
He's the one that's going to bring it to pass. And I already read the last chapter in here. And we win.
Amen.
We win. As bad as it looks, we win. No matter how horrible and how terrifying, when we see thousands and thousands dying that are left and right, we need not fear because God is in charge. And we're in that time of the world, people. We are here. We are literally watching fear coming into a world, and multitudes of people are dying all around us faster today than ever before. Glory to God. Rely on God's power. The fifth principle in overcoming life's battle, again, it's God's power, not ours. Remember that. It's God's power. We need to get our eyes on the Lord and realize it's him. Too often we got our eyes on everything else, on everything except the one who can solve the problem. There's nothing he can't solve. Nothing. I don't care how complicated it is. Nothing. The answer is in here.
Amen.
In the power of God. Not only in word, but in power.
Yes.
Circumstances are like a mattress. If we're on top, we rest easy, don't we? But if we're underneath, we might suffocate.
Yeah.
Stay on top.
Yes.
If we keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll stay on top of our circumstances. We got to keep our eyes upon the Lord. When the enemy comes in and tries to take you back into the depth of the battle to make you fight something you can't win, put your eyes back upon God, saying, God, I trust you. I cast them upon you. The situation, the warfare is heated up. The enemy is looking at me. They're surrounding me right now. And it seems every moment they're getting heavier and heavier. Just keep your eyes fixed on God and let this enemy surround you all he wants. God will take care of it.
Amen.
Like Jehoshaphat.
Yes.
Multitudes. Could have been hundreds of thousands of soldiers standing out there. Can you imagine that poor king and everybody looking at him? And he's going, where'd we get this guy from? But he was a good king.
Yes.
He turned around, looked at the multitude in his country, and they're all looking at him. Lead us. Tell us what to do. And Jehoshaphat, I can just see him. Look up. Fix your eyes upon God and watch the salvation of the Lord. Just as Moses did. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto all us all things that pertain unto life and goodness. Did you hear that?
Yes.
According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's his divine power that you need to depend upon. Not your wisdom, your education, your physical strength, whatever. Nothing against you, Marco. Where are you here? Oh, there you are back there. We still like your strength. Came from God, by the way, right?
That's right.
Amen. Point number 6, relax in faith. Relax in faith. The battle's been steaming. Some of you get battle weary, don't you? You say, is this thing ever going to end? I don't know how to get out of this. You need to understand that you need to relax in your faith because you're looking up. You may be weary. It's about time to relax. When you know that you have no answer, you have no strength, you would have no idea, you don't know what to do, relax.
Yes.
In your faith. And what happens when you relax in your faith? When I relax in my faith, I'm battle weary. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Lord, it's yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's nothing more I can do.
Right.
And what's that do when I say that to God? Faith pleases God.
Amen.
The only thing in the scripture that says pleases God is your faith.
Right.
Relax in it. If you're born again, blood bought, Holy Ghost filled, devil chasing, pew jumping Christian, you need to put your faith in the one you said, I turn my life over to you.
Yes.
And you need to relax in him in the middle of the storm, the middle of the battle, whatever the struggle. You need to just relax and say that, God, you are my source. You will deliver me. You hear my cry. I know you do, so I'm going to trust you and I'm going to relax. I'm going to go about my daily walk, my daily business, my daily enjoyments of life. I'm going to trust you that this is going to come to pass. And it will.
Yes.
Amen.
It will. God is working when you don't see him working.
Right.
I think that's a song, isn't it, Amy? He's working when you don't see him. He's working 24 hours a day on the very thing you cried out to him for. And we don't give up on him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
Yes.
Say with me, my battle,
my battle
is the Lord's.
Is the Lord's. Amen.
Yes. He recorded that. The sixth principle in overcoming life's battles is to relax in faith, as I said. We need to learn to relax in faith. And I'll tell you what, when you learn to relax in faith, guess what happens? You'll find out that your joy is coming back.
Yes.
The joy of your salvation is returning.
Yes.
You're going to see that life, the things that you've been burdened about, begin to get lighter because you've given them to God and He is able to carry them.
Yes.
He carries the weight of the world and it's nothing for Him. But many of us today, we need the joy of the Lord. We need our strength back. And that comes through relaxing and trusting a never failing Heavenly Father. When we try to fight the battle on our own terms, we will lose. If we fight the battle on God's terms, we will win. We will win. When we first become Christians, we tend to think, God, you don't know what a deal you got when you got me. I'm going to bring into your kingdom single-handedly. I'm going to build it. I'll go out and win the world and I'll really help you, God. Boy, when you save me, you got the best. Yeah. So we work really hard, but eventually come crawling back on our hands and knees saying, Lord, I know I've really disappointed you. I'm so sorry I really let you down, because that's what we do when we think we're so spiritual, when we think we're so strong that we can do what God can only do. We come crawling back. And there, I've known many brothers and sisters in Christ who started out strong because they thought they arrived. Pride slept, snuck in, and they thought that they were God's top-notch person. And within weeks and months, many of them fall totally away.
Right.
I'm only here because of God.
Amen.
Only because of Him.
Amen.
Only because of Him. I've had people put me down, say, you're not smart enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not strong enough, you're not witty enough, you're not this or that. I could care less. What's God think of me?
Yes.
He chose me.
Yes.
No matter what you people think of me, God chose me.
That's right.
That's right.
And I'm talking about chose me as a Christian, as He did you.
That's right.
He chose you. You didn't choose Him. He chose you.
Right.
As He did me. And so I look up when the enemy surrounds me and saying, God, it's yours. I'm not going to carry that. That battle's yours. But God replies, no, you didn't let me down because you weren't holding me up. Folks, here's the truth. We don't hold up God. He holds us up.
That's
the truth. Many people think they're holding God up, and they're really not. God's holding us up.
That's right.
Continually. And we need to remember that. How many of you heard that God helps those who help themselves? You ever hear that?
Yes.
I just heard that on a Western. The truth of the matter is God helps those who can't help themselves.
No.
Now listen. I'm not saying we should not try because we need to, that we should not do our best because we need to. Because we should try, we should give it our best efforts. But we should also realize that without God's power, we have no power at all.
That's right.
Jesus said it this way, John 15:5, I read it last week. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing.
Right.
Why are we trying to fight battles when we can't do anything about them? We can try, but we can't, according to what Jesus told us. God wants us to relax in faith and let Him do the work through us. Paul says it this way in Colossians 2:6, and ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk in Him. Walk in Him. When you find yourself trying to take control, stop and say, Holy Spirit, help me to walk in Jesus.
Yes.
Help me to walk in Him, because I have no power. He does. Greater is He that is in me, not me. Greater is he that is in me. The Holy Ghost, which is the power of God, is in me that gives me the strength to walk forward.
Yes.
In other words, just the way you become a believer, be sure to live the Christian life in the same way. Amen?
Yeah.
You accepted Jesus?
Yes.
You didn't earn or do anything to do that. He chose you. You received it. Do the same thing when it comes to the battle. Just say, Lord, by faith I give you that battle. You didn't become a Christian by working really hard, did you? Uh-uh. By promising to be perfect?
No.
No. By doing all kinds of good things?
No.
By doing all kinds of works for the Lord?
No.
No. No. You became a Christian by trusting in the finished work that Jesus did on the cross.
That's right.
That's all it was. It was relaxing, huh? There's still people out there trying to do all kinds of good things, thinking they're getting points with God. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Our righteousness stinks. We only do those works because we love Jesus. We glorify him when we do good works. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's right.
It's by the grace of God through the sacrifice of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. The Christian's life is a walk of faith, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it a walk of faith? If God says he'll take care of it, he will.
Amen.
If he said he'll take care of it, he will. Amen?
Amen.
Has God ever broken his promise?
No.
No, never. He never has. He never has broken his promise to anyone that he's made a promise to, ever. And this book is full of promises to you and I.
Yes.
Right.
We've broken ours to him. You know how many times? By unbelief.
Yeah.
That is because I want to be in charge.
Right.
I want to be in charge. I want to do things my way, God. But we find out it doesn't work. I've spent a lot of time running around trying to win the battle. But notice what God says to Jehoshaphat. He says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Doesn't that bring relaxation to you right there? Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
That's what he says to you and I in every single battle that we fight. He's with us. He said, just go forward. Go forward into the battle, and I'll be with you. What does it mean to stand firm when you've got a problem, when you're facing a battle, when you're in a crisis of life? It's a mental attitude of quiet confidence that says, I'm going to trust in God during this time right now. If he promised you that he will take care of it, he will. He's going to. Guaranteed 100%. The only reason he won't is because maybe you still want to do your own thing. Here's the seventh point. I'm getting close to done, yes. I shouldn't be, but I am. Thank God in advance.
Yeah.
You know, when I pray for people, you'll notice like when I call people for praying for them for healing and things, what I say, thank God before you get here.
Yeah.
Thank him in advance because, see, your healing has already been paid for.
Yes.
It's already done.
Right.
We were and we was healed.
Yes.
It's already done. We need to put our faith into action because it's already done. The seventh principle, again, conquering life's battles is to thank God in advance for giving you the victory. Whatever battle you're facing right now, you need to thank God that you've already won that battle. Even if you're at the beginning or in the middle, doesn't make any difference. Thank God, saying, Lord, I thank you that you've given me victory in this battle. And it may be raging battle. It may be a very difficult one. And it's pounding at your mind. Start relaxing in your faith and say, Lord, I thank you that I have the victory in my battle right now. I have the victory. We have to trust Christ Jesus, who has already fought this battle. And he's won. He's already won it. He's already won it. And he did so on the cross. That's how he's won the battle in our lives. What he accomplished and finished upon the cross. Doing that, the Holy Spirit will then guarantee us the victory through Jesus Christ. How many want victory? How many want victory?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Don't you want victory?
Yes.
Praise God. You got it.
Amen.
You got it. You say, but so-and-so died. They're in heaven.
Yeah.
Got the victory. And if they're not saved, that's why we need to be witnessing. And he consulted the people. Jehoshaphat, who's fascinating because the way in which the battle was won, it really is. He appointed men to sing to the Lord. Can you believe that? To praise the beauty of holiness, verse 21 says. Prayer and praise must precede our effort.
Yes.
Prayer and praise need to come first.
Yes.
If you're in a battle. You don't hit your head and say, oh me, oh my. I got to say bye-bye. Now get the picture of what's going on. There are these two mountains and a valley in between. The battle's going to take place in the valley. On one mountain are the three enemy armies just waiting to devastate the Jews. Just waiting. On the other mountain are the Jews led by Jehoshaphat. On the other mountain. He tells his people, here's God's battle plan. They're all listening. They want to know. God's battle plan? All of those who can sing in the choir. All those who can sing in the choir, come forth. Each Sunday we face that battle. Right, Amy? I thank God for our choir.
That's right, yeah.
Because whether you out here and I believe it, they're already by faith fighting a battle in their own life as they come forth to encourage us in worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that takes faith.
Yes.
That pleases God. Here, Jehoshaphat did that. I want you out front, choir. Isn't that amazing? I can see all the Jews going, huh? Jehoshaphat says, I want them to lead the battle line. Huh? Can you believe it? Huh? So they go marching to battle with the choir in the front of the army singing praises to God. God's got a sense of humor. I can just see that choir. Start singing praises. They're seeing all the spears and all the things pointing at them and knives and everything and the angry and the shouting. And we're going to sing. So they go marching to battle with the choir in the front of the army singing praises to God. Start to sing praises to God in your home, in your car. If your mind is being troubled, begin to sing praises to God and put your eyes upon Jesus as King Jehoshaphat did and begin to praise him. And when the enemy comes in and say, but what if, but what if, but what if, what if this doesn't work? What if this happens? You just keep saying, praise you, Lord.
Yes.
The battle is yours. I praise you, God. I glorify you. And you're going to see your battle is going to be gone. Who would fight a battle like that, people, huh? Who would fight a battle like that? Wouldn't you put your best soldiers out front with the machine guns and the bazookas? Wouldn't you let your strongest men lead the way? But that was God's plan. Send the choir. He wanted the choir out front. Did God's plan work?
Yes.
It did. Why? Because God was there with them, and he just wanted to sing, have them sing praises to him for the holiness and his beauty. He was looking at, see, God had no concern about those three nations. He has no concern about the things that are hitting us in the sense of what that battle consists of, just like he wasn't these three termite countries. He wasn't concerned one bit. But he sure loved hearing these people praising him in the middle of the battle. They defeated him. All God's people had to do was to divide up the plunder. That's all they had to do after that battle was ended. Why did God do it this way? In conclusion, as a visual object lesson to teach us to praise him in faith, even before the victory, even before the battle was won, even before the battle was fought, we need to praise God.
Amen.
We need to praise him. When God gives us a promise, we need to praise him, because a promise from God is a sure thing.
Yes.
It will not fail. God said he would take us through. Here's the final outcome of the battle, people. You got your seatbelts on? I tell you what, this makes you want to just jump and shout. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 25. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil with so much.
Amen.
3 days to collect the spoils. When God wins the battle, there's always a bountiful blessing. Whenever your battle you face is, as you go through with God and allow him to fight that battle in your life and you come through, there's going to be bountiful blessings along the way, and there's going to be more than you can contain. We miss him because we do so much complaining and murmuring and living in fear and living in doubt and unbelief. And all the time we're surrounded with blessings and riches that God has given us. Even when he's brought us through the battle, we forget to praise him. He's an awesome God. He's a loving God. When God wins the battle, there's always bountiful blessings. How many today are facing a battle in your life or in your family somewhere? Several of us. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're facing a battle, why don't you just come forward? This is a place where God's family come together. We're all in this together, and it just brings unity. Just come forward. We're going to praise God for just a moment of time here. I want you, if you got a battle in your life, I don't care what it is. Maybe it's a health problem, whatever. Just come up here, people. Let God, the Holy Ghost sees us all here. He sees us gathering right now by faith, coming to an altar, saying, Lord, we're looking unto you. Come on, just squeeze in here, people. Come on, get up here. Holy Ghost knows exactly who you are,
yes.
Why you're up here. He knows. He knows. Some of you in depression. Some are oppressed today. Some have got strongholds in your life. Some have financial. Some have job situations, relational situations, decision-making problems, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of battles, big or small. But God is here this morning. God is here this morning. Say, Lord, I know you're here right now.
Lord, I know you're here right now.
Say it again. Lord, I know you're here right now.
Lord, I know you're here right now.
And I look to you.
And I look to you.
I look up to you right now, God. I'm here standing before you with a battle in my life.
A battle in my life.
And I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen to us. I have no idea, God. But I look to you with that battle I'm facing. Young or old, battles are real. Lord, help me right now. Say with me.
Lord, help me.
Help me to relax.
Help me to relax.
Right now in the battle that I'm in.
And to stand.
And Lord, put your joy within me.
Put your joy.
For that will be my strength.
Put your joy.
As I walk with you in the battle of my life. And Lord, as we walk together, I believe you're fighting the battle for me. You're doing the things I can't do.
Yes, Jesus.
You're going to bring deliverance. You're going to bring help.
You're
going to bring ideas.
You're
going to bring results. And I'm going to win. I will have the victory.
I will have the
because the battle is yours, Lord. And I will win this battle. And Holy Ghost, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters in Christ, young and old. Just move and touch each one that are up here this morning. Bring a sense of your presence and your peace upon them, Lord, that when they leave Crossfire's doors this morning and they're on their way home and the enemy comes back and he said, ha ha, you think you are okay just because that dumb preacher preached. You can say it. It isn't the dumb preacher, dumb Satan.
It's God.
He's the one. He's the one that's fighting my battle, and you're a loser.
Yes.
You lost.
That's right.
You're nothing but a noisemaker and a deceiver. And I've won the victory.
Start praising.
Don't allow.
Start praising.
Father, help your people not to allow lying, thieving, destructive voices in their minds, within their lives, and deception, and let not fear come unto them because it's a spirit from hell. And Lord, we rebuke all of it in the name of Jesus. Loose your people from their battles. And Lord, sometimes battles take longer than we like. And maybe because we messed them up ourselves.
Yes.
Or maybe they're just created by that principalities and that powers of darkness. Wickedness in high places coming against me, Lord. But right now, I turn them over to you. Because, Lord, you've already defeated those things. You defeated all the powers of darkness. You defeated the wickedness in high places and the powers that are against me. So, Lord, the battle is yours. Say it with me. The battle is yours, Jesus. Jesus, the battle is yours. Say it again. Jesus, the battle is yours. And I surrender it to you right now. For you know what to do.
You know what to do.
And I will follow as we go through the battle. And Lord, I thank you in advance for the abundance of blessings that I'm about to receive as I put my faith and trust in you. And Lord, I look to you right now. Say it with me. I look to you right now. And I see the beauty of holiness upon you. And I praise you. I glorify you. And I just cast all my care right now. And I leave it at the altar. To you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amy, you got a little song we can sing before we depart from the front here?
Glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, yes, yes. Unto the end, I will trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now we just give you all the praise and the glory. Father, we thank you for your holy word that you showed us in Scripture, your written word, your promises. You showed us, Lord, that you are a God that will help fight our battles and be with us in our battles, and you will deliver us from our battles. And Lord, I thank you. We praise you as the body of Christ this morning. And Lord, we're looking with expectation for your soon return. We know you're doing a work in our world right now. You're bringing a move of your hand upon this whole world. I'm believing you, Lord, right now to bring a move of God in every home that's represented here at Crossfire Assembly. Lord, we are looking to hear testimony after testimony as you're supernaturally moving across the land, moving within the homes of your people. And Lord, I thank you in advance for it. I thank you for meeting all their needs and blessing them mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, relational, domestically, every area, Lord. Father, the blessings are here. The blessings are on the way as we put our trust in you. Lord, I thank you. Send your peace, the Prince of Peace, through your Holy Spirit upon each mind, upon each heart. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, I have the victory. The battle is won.
I have the victory. The battle is won.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed afternoon. Glory to God. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God.